Hello, this is Susan Smith Nash, and you're listening to The Fringe Journal. Today's story is called It's Okay, I Ate It. And I hope you enjoy it. It's inspired by traveling and travel tales, and perhaps you will relate to it as you listen to it. Okay. I discovered today that customs officials don't like humor. I had just checked the announcement board for flights from Dallas to Oklahoma City and had discovered, to my delight, that I might just have enough time to catch the flight that left at 7:43 a.m. rather than waiting until 10:07 for the one I was ticketed for. At that point, it was 7:05. I had been flying all night, but was pretty rested. The flight was not full, and I had been able to stretch out and sleep. So, I trotted right up to the customs agent who read my customs form. His face was a mask. He then asked if I had been on any farms, or if I were bringing in any food or agricultural products. "No, I ate it all," I said. I guess he wasn't as amused as I was. Actually, I was mildly disgusted with myself for eating at least a half a pound of Turkish Delight and honey pistachio confection before I left the hotel in Santiago, Chile. "Line one, please," he said. He gestured to the ag line. The Beagle Brigade was sleeping in, I suppose. All I saw was one lone, rather distracted customs agent with sandy hair, glasses, and a handful of forms. "But I don't have any agricultural products," I said. He circled the red AG-1 he had written on the top of the form. "Line one, ma'am," he repeated. I remembered to lift with my quadriceps and not with my back as I hoisted my 50-pound carry-on onto the aluminum table. The thing was not going to be easy to close up again. "How often do you travel out of the country? How many trips have you made in the last year?" He'd already unzipped my carry-on and was carefully picking his way through the books, pantyhose, blouses, shoes, wine glasses, and assorted trinkets. He opened a bag with the bike prescription-only tube of Metrogel I had bought at Cruz Roja Farmacia in Santiago, where, instead of paying $75 for the anti-inflammatory cream, together with a $150 dermatologist office visit fee, I had forked over 8,000 Chilean pesos, roughly $14. I also wondered how I would explain a 14 weeks worth of tetracycline, or 2 weeks worth of Cipro. The tetracycline was, I thought, an anti-malarial prophylaxis, just in case I really did go to Mozambique in a few months. It was good. Instead of paying more than $100 to keep myself free of that scourge, malaria, I paid about 10. Instead of $60 for Cipro, I paid 15. July 1, my workplace changed health insurance carriers, and instead of a $200 annual deductible, $10 office copay, and 80% coverage on prescription medication, we now had to pay a $2,500 deductible with no subsidies on office visits. Someone said that medications were barely covered at all. The forthcoming savings in doctor's visits and medications practically paid for the entire trip to Santiago, Chile. I was starting to wish I had thought to get heartworm prevention medicine for my dog. The customs agent glared at me. Suddenly, I was very glad I had not attempted to sneak in the souvenir corkscrew from Veramonte Winery that even had its own lead-cutting knife. how many times have you been outside the United States in the last year? He said again, rephrasing slightly. Five times? Maybe four? I muttered to myself. He looked at me. I guess he wanted an answer. The effects of the 10-hour flight were beginning to percolate into my brain. I felt a bit of vertigo when I looked down at my luggage. Five. Yes, I think it was five trips. As hard as I was trying to count them, all my recent trips were blurring together. Emotional trips to San Diego to visit my son, who graduated from the U.S. Marine Corps, boot camp, basic training, tedious trips to various and sundry conference locales, but places that used to have annual outbreaks of malaria, but not now. Even Oklahoma, my home, used to have malaria back in the good old days before dams were built and the Washita River used to flood and leave nasty oxbows filled with stagnant water. And the city did not fog the low-lying forested areas with DEET or DDT or whatever they use these days. The customs agent replaced the clothes and started to zip the carry-on after assuring himself that I really did not have any agricultural or food products on my person. According to the clock, I still had 30 minutes before scheduled takeoff. It was a 10-minute walk. With any luck at all, they wouldn't be booked full. Thank you, I said as I wrestled with my luggage. I wondered if the pills would rattle in their little bubble packs. The custom agent did not look up from the forms he was filling out. As I made my way to the gate, I thought of the summer before when I'd spent 3 weeks in Kenya. I'd taken 2 months' worth of prophylactic-level medicine. During that time frame, four soldiers who had recently returned from Afghanistan had murdered their wives, girlfriends, themselves. They were blaming it on the anti-malarial drug they had to take while in Afghanistan. It was a new drug, Malarone, Larium, something like that. Supposedly, it caused anxiety, even psychosis. I refused to take that drug, just in case. Instead, I had chosen the antibiotic route, which made my face extremely photosensitive. But at least it kept me from fits of aggression or rampaging hallucinations. With antibiotics, I just got a bit testy at times. I don't think I could really blame that on the medicine, though. There were so many other factors. One being the approximately 500 small carved animals, wooden, I had dragged back with me from Kenya with the idea of setting up an e-business with my son. When I got back, I realized that the market was already fairly glutted, and to that to really sell the things, I would have to drag them to work with me and hustle them as Noah's Ark items for the office workers' grandkids. Well, luck was with me. There was a seat available on the 80-passenger Embraer commuter jet. Is it 80 passengers? I don't think so. I think it's 30. The weather was clearing up, and although the gust front of strong thunderstorms was at that very moment snapping trees, downing electric lines, pushing trees into telephones, and wreaking havoc a mere 250 miles to the north on all of Norman and South Oklahoma City, I was completely oblivious to it, and I was mildly sleepy to boot. So I stretched my legs and let myself drift off into thoughts of Chile, German and French-influenced architecture, Africa, rain, summer, mosquitoes. It was good to travel. It was good to think on my feet. It was good to score cheap antibiotics, even if, somewhere along the way, I realized it was doxycycline and not tetracycline I had taken last year in Kenya. As you can see, I'm almost over my laryngitis, but not quite. So thanks for bearing with me, and I hope you enjoyed this. This is Susan Smith Nash for the Fringe Journal.